Well, right now we're talking to Dr. Thomas Unger about mental health disorders and some other things. So, Dr. Unger, just to start things out, why and how did you want to get involved in working with mental health?
Well, actually, that's a great question. I used to be a family physician, and I was finding that at least half of what I used to see in my office had a connection to mental health, people's concerns or manifesting mental health problems, often with physical symptoms as well as their emotional symptoms. So I was always interested in the field and found it fascinating, and that just confirmed to me that it was something I want to do. So I actually went back to school after being a family doctor and trained as a specialist, a medical specialist in psychiatry. And I think that's where I really found my niche in terms of my professional practice.
So now I understand you're working on a special project. Can you describe that for us?
Yeah, one of the things I see is that often a lot of the time I spend with people when I see them after they've been referred from their family doctor or from somewhere else is that I have to explain to them that what they're experiencing might actually be a health problem or a mental health condition. And I have to do so much talking because people just aren't familiar with common everyday mental health problems. So I decided, why don't we have a public-friendly, perhaps entertaining mental health service? So, you know, when I drive in my car, I listen to the radio minute about the weather minute, or the stock market minute. So I said, why don't we do a mental health minute? So I developed a internet site called www.mentalhealthminute.com, and we've written some mental health minutes, radio minutes, video minutes, and some little one-page information sheets for people to inform them about what their mental health condition could be and what sorts of help they might be able to get for it, as well as some really good credible links to other sites and ways of getting information about where they could turn for help. But it's not written for professionals, it's written for the public in everyday language, and maybe they even get a little chuckle or two out of some of the hopefully funny things we get on there.
So now you mentioned that there's a lot of people that don't even know what they're dealing with or aren't familiar with some of the most common mental health disorders. So what are some of the most common mental health disorders?
Oh, yeah. Well, some of the common ones are medical depression or a major depressive episode. That's very common. And anxiety or worry disorders. Those are very common. Others that are a little less common that you see a lot of, however, are, of course, problems with addiction and substance use. There are problems with how people think, and they actually develop things like schizophrenia or thought disorders. And there's other mood disorders where their moods go too high and too low, sometimes from month to month, and that's called bipolar disorder. So those are some of the more common ones, but there are really quite a few. And sometimes there's just mental health things they're experiencing that aren't disorders that they need help with, and they're not illnesses. And ways to keep people mentally healthy as well that we talk about.
So now can you go into a little more depth about anxiety disorder?
Yeah, so anxiety is a word for worry, where your body feels worry, your mind gets worried and starts to go over things and get nervous, but your body also feels nervousness. My heart races, my stomach gets queasy, I might get sweaty, I might start shaking or get tremulous or think I have to run to the bathroom, just like when I'm watching a scary movie. So anxiety or worry disorders can take that form. Sometimes it comes on as a huge rush for 10, 15 minutes where your adrenaline's released and you have what we call a panic attack. And you think you're having a heart attack because you can't breathe and your heart's pumping away. And you think, I don't know what's going on. I'm having a heart attack. Maybe I'm going crazy. So that's a panic attack. And because of that, sometimes people won't go out of the house or go onto a bus or drive on the highway because they think they might have one there. And then what would happen? So that's just one example of one of the common worry or anxiety disorders. Others are being scared of people because you think they're all looking at you and judging you and maybe looking at your haircut or that something's wrong with you, so you avoid people. That's called social anxiety. So those are just some of the common worry disorders people might get.
Now, you mentioned it a little bit as well, but bipolar disorder, I mean, we hear about it every now and then just in our everyday lives, but what exactly is bipolar disorder?
Yeah, bipolar is when your mood system, kind of like that on your furnace or on your heater, is going too high and too low. It's not keeping that constant middle state to your mood. Everyone gets happy and sad. A good thing happens, we get quite excited. A bad thing, we can get sad and cry. But people with bipolar, or what they used to call manic depressive illness, get episodes where the mood goes down and stays down for weeks at a time for no other obvious reason sometimes. And at the same time, they get other episodes lasting weeks, months, where their mood goes too high. So they're full of life and energy, too happy, in fact, so excited that it gets weird. Sometimes they even think they're so happy, everything's perfect, they've got special powers, they're Superman, they've got the best idea, and they got to run right to the Prime Minister's office and knock on his door in the middle of the night to tell him it, and they get arrested even sometimes. So bipolar disorder is mood swings, not just a moment to moment with good and bad, but really heavy-duty mood swings often over periods of weeks or months of time that is quite noticeable and often, you know, gets people into trouble.
Can you tell us a little bit about schizophrenia?
Yeah, schizophrenia is a funny word. People often used to think that it means you got a split mind or two personalities. That's not really what it means. What it really means is there's something going on with your brain organ that it's not thinking properly. So the organ of our brain helps us process information, sounds, visions, things we see, things we smell. It all goes into your brain and you interpret it. With schizophrenia, the brain isn't quite working right, so that you may start to get ideas in your head that aren't actually happening in the real world. Those are called delusions, maybe paranoid delusions, that people are after you, watching you, monitoring you. Maybe it's the RCMP or the FBI. Maybe it's Martians from outer space. Those are some of the more extreme ones. The other thing with schizophrenia is you can also start hearing sounds or having visions that aren't actually there. So your brain organ starts having sort of false information being produced that they think is real. Also, people kind of decline in their ability to cope with everyday life, can't take care of themselves very well, and sometimes even end up homeless, unfortunately, because they just kind of drift down in the way they live their lives. And sometimes end up drifting onto the streets, unfortunately.
Is there help for that sort of thing?
There's lots of help, and in fact, intervening early can really help. Some of the interventions include getting some support for themselves, for their housing, for their clothing and food, support for their families. Medication is a common support to try to control some of the symptoms and prevent the damage that schizophrenia can cause. So there's quite a bit of help for schizophrenia. Often it's that phase of 5 to 10 years that it's developing that maybe family members or people don't recognize it before they get to treatment. That's important to get to. And some of what the Mental Health Minute is doing is trying to get people informed at an earlier stage. We've just got a grant from the Canadian Council on Learning to do a project that we're calling Improving Mental Health Services Through Informed Choice, a bottom-up approach to changing provider behavior. And that's a grant with our partner consumer organizations, the National Network for Mental Health, the Mood Disorder Association of Ontario, and our Ontario Association of Patient Councils, to really get people informed, get them empowered so they understand what they're going through, so family members can understand if they see something that doesn't seem right, and have a source to go to for some information, both on the website and some really good credible links to us if they think they might have something and want to go up that ladder of information to find out more about the conditions.
Hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about the disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder?
Yeah, I can tell you quite a bit because I'm a little bit obsessive compulsive myself. Some people like to have a lot of attention to detail and be a little what they call compulsive about doing things, being organized, having attention to detail. Or some people have obsessions where they think a lot about things. I need to buy a new car, in fact, in the next few weeks, so I've been obsessing about what vehicle to get and reading information. The difference with when it becomes a disorder is when you can't stop doing those things and they stop helping you and actually start getting in your way. So you're getting obsessive thoughts popping in your thinking that they bother you, they're not helping you, and you can't get on with other things in your life. Or the compulsive behaviors, the attention to details, cleaning compulsively, checking the door 25 times or the stove 25 times because you hadn't turned it off, and you actually can't get to work or you can't get out of the house. That's when it becomes a disorder, and it's called OCD. It's very biologic. We know there's certain things genetically in families, and there's lots you can do about it, and that's called OCD or obsessive compulsive disorder, and it's more than just a little bit of personality traits that many of us have.
Now, another disorder that's been popping up more and more over the last few years, it seems like, is attention deficit disorder and attention deficit hyper disorder. But what are those really?
Yeah, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder is talked about a lot. It's a condition where people have trouble focusing their attention on one thing at a time and get so scattered in their thoughts that they have trouble functioning. That's the attentional part. The hyperactivity part is often seen particularly in younger people or kids where they're so hyper they can't sit still, they fidget, they move about, they're pacing. Often kids get in trouble at school before they're identified as having ADHD, maybe getting sent to the office. So that's quite common nowadays. And there's a lot of debate and discussion about what the best ways to help people with ADD or ADHD is, medications and other forms of counseling. It's important to get a good assessment. Often the family doctor or pediatrician first picks it up, or the schools pick it up in kids, but you can even see it in grown-ups and adults. Sometimes they're the most creative people, you know, successful in business, but try to get them to focus on one thing, and it's quite interesting.
Now, one final one. Can you tell us about Alzheimer's?
Yeah, Alzheimer's disease is a condition that usually happens in older adults, although sometimes it's a bit younger adults, and that's when the brain It's called cognitive decline, or their ability to affect their memory and to organize how they go about doing simpler tasks becomes more compromised and they have more trouble. So their brain actually, believe it or not, atrophies, which is a fancy word for shit, part of one of the type of nerve cells starts to get damaged and some gunk builds up in their nerve cells. They call them plaques. And as a result, people's memory gets affected and they decline in their ability to take care of themselves. We used to think they were just senile, but it's actually something we call dementia, and where their brain and their cognitive capacity declines. And Alzheimer's is probably the most common one, first recognized and named after a guy named Alzheimer who discovered it. And often it ends up people having to get personal supports in the home, maybe going into retirement residences, nursing homes, and can be really hard on the family members around them who have to also help their loved one, their older loved one, to provide them care. But meanwhile, these people have to run their own lives as well, and that can be an enormous challenge.
Well, if any of our listeners are listening right now and they recognize that them or someone they know might be dealing with one of these illnesses but hasn't seeking help, where could they go?
Well, I think a great place, again, the purpose of our project to improve mental health services through informed choice is to get people to get themselves informed. If they happen to like the internet or computer or can go to their library and get on one, they can check on mentalhealthminute.com. There's also some other really good organizations through Health Canada that they can go to Health Canada website. They can talk to their healthcare provider, be it a nurse, a counselor, a family physician, pediatrician, and get referred to better resources. Or they can talk to their community, local community health agencies to see who delivers mental health in their region. That's a good way to start. On the mentalhealthminute.com website, we have some recommended links. So if you want to click to other organizations to get good information, or through our partner organizations on our project, the National Network for Mental Health, NNMH, or through the Mood Disorder Association of Ontario, those are good places to start.
We've been talking with Dr. Thomas Unger about some mental health disorders and about the Mental Health Minute. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Unger.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.